Please turn with me now in your copies of God's Word to the Gospel of Matthew. This morning we'll be looking at chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. If you're using your Pew Bible, you can find this on page 1030. So hear now the Word of God, Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Let us once again bow in prayer and seek the Lord's blessing. Our gracious Father, we do, Lord, thank you for these words, and we pray that you would guide and direct our hearts and our minds as we look at them, and that you, Lord, would inscribe your truth upon our hearts and minds. And Lord, we do pray that you would bless my mind and my mouth, that I may think and speak clearly your word this morning. And in Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen. There is a hospital in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Its name is West Penn, and I'm not sure if it's still around. I think it may have been in the verge of closing when we were leaving, but I'm not exactly sure. But it has closed. I'm getting it. Oh, no, it's still there. Okay, thank you. And my grandparents were in the RP home. The RP home patients would often go to West Penn for treatment. I can remember visiting my grandparents there in West Penn. And I remember walking down one corridor where along one wall, it's devoted to, there's plaques or there's bricks that have people's names on them. And it's a wall of, you know, donors and big donors. And I know it's something that is probably not isolated in Pittsburgh and West Penn Hospital, but something we see from time to time walking through various hospitals or other institutions. And there's some section of a building that's devoted, and usually there's a sign there too that says, well, if you give this much, you can have your name here, or this much, and you can have a brick, and this much, maybe you have a room named after you, or something like that. And especially in the case of a hospital, you know, I'm not standing here passing judgment on the motivations of those individuals that you see their names placarded along the wall and what they gave and contributed. But I always wondered, you know, did someone have the opportunity to simply say anonymous? You know, so you'd be walking down this hall and just say anonymous. Or did someone even have the opportunity? Could someone say, well, I'd like the name of Jesus Christ to be placed upon this brick? You know, in giving glory to their Savior for being able to contribute to such and such thing. Or why isn't there a wing of a hospital that instead of such and so wing, it's not, you know, Jesus Christ wing of such and such treatment. Well, I think that those illustrations have to deal directly with our passage today, and Jesus is dealing with them. You know, putting aside any motivations that people may have had in contributing what they contributed, there may have been those that were genuine in their contributions, and it was just the laws that our names are put on there. It's like, okay, I just want to give some money. But there are those that did it primarily to have some recognition, to have their name there as having contributed and having done something good in their community. Well, Jesus here speaks against that attitude. He here speaks against that motivation of doing good, of practicing righteousness in the world. We're not to have the motivation of getting a reward in this life, but our motivation is to be to please God and to glorify Him alone. And so this is what we're encouraged to do in these verses, is to practice our righteousness without any thought of reward in this life. To practice righteousness without any thought of reward in this life. And we'll be looking at it in three points. One, take care not to practice your righteousness before men. And that's in Matthew 6, verse 1. In Matthew 6, 2, for those who do are hypocrites and receive their reward in full. And then in the remainder of our section, verses 3 and 4, therefore practice your righteousness before God without any thought of reward in this life. So first of all, as we begin in Matthew 6, verse 1, we read these words, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have your reward from your father. You will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. This verse, if you recall, we looked at it briefly already as we went through Matthew chapter 5. For this verse, some like to argue that Jesus is contradicting what he has already said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, where there we read, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So it seems to be Jesus contradicting himself there, but I'll ask you to, those who heard that message, to recall back into your memory and remember that there we talked about the difference being the motivation, which I already mentioned in this sermon already. The motivation there in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, is the glory of God. Whereas the motivation here in chapter 6, verse 1, is the glory of ourselves. So what is that is the difference there between what Jesus says in Matthew 5 and what he says here in Matthew 6. The glory of God or the glory of ourselves. Well, as we are beginning here a new section in Christ's Sermon on the Mount, the previous section that we just looked at, verses 21 through 48 of chapter 5, that was the greater righteousness that Jesus spoke of in verse 20. How we need to have a greater righteousness than the scribes and Pharisees. And he goes through those six examples that he gives of how he fulfills the law and does not destroy it. And how our righteousness needs to be greater than the scribes and Pharisees and what it looks like. Jesus now begins a section turning from what that greater righteousness looks like to how we practice that greater righteousness. And here we see three examples that Jesus is going to give over this section. He gives here in these verses the example of doing good works, doing our righteousness, or helping the needy. And then he gives the example of prayer and then of fasting. But in all of these, there is a common theme of it's something that is not to be done to be received glory by men. It's to be done, as he says later in this passage, in secret. And the reason why is that he says there will be no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Now, what does he mean here by reward from your Father who is in heaven? The language here can give the idea of a wage or something that is earned. And when Jesus says here, if we practice our righteousness so that other people will be seen, or so that will be seen by other people and that we will receive glory from them, well, we will have no reward from our Father who is in heaven, or we will not be, we won't earn a wage from him. We won't be paid by him. One way we could think of this is that, let's say you work at Tully's, the coffee shop, and you work hard for them, and you do your job well, and you receive your paycheck, you receive your reward. You wouldn't expect Starbucks to come along and then also pay you for the work that you have done, right? You know, you work for Tully's. That is who you are working for. You do not work for Starbucks. So Starbucks is not going to reward you for the really good work that you're doing in Tully's. Well, that's kind of the idea here. Jesus will later on in his Sermon on the Mount talk about serving two masters. Jesus here is saying you will be rewarded by the one that you try to please. You will either be rewarded by man receiving glory from him, or you will be rewarded by God. And you won't be rewarded by both. So our motivation here, Jesus is getting at in this first verse, our motivation in practicing righteousness is not to please men, but rather to glorify God, to give glory to him. That is to be our motivation in practicing righteousness. And Jesus then goes on to say in verse 2, "Thus when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward." First of all, as Jesus begins then this section, he starts with the words, "when you give," or "thus when you give to the needy." You see, the assumption here that Jesus is making is that his disciples will be giving. It's not a command that, okay, now you need to give. The assumption is made by Jesus in his teaching that his disciples will be those that are giving to those in need. That is the assumption that he makes here. But as we do this, as we go about giving to those who are in need, he tells us not to be like the hypocrites. Now, I mentioned this in an evening sermon once, and I'll repeat it here. This word for hypocrite that Jesus uses is a word that was used for actor. He's calling the scribes and the Pharisees actors. And when we see that word throughout the Gospels, that is what he is referring to. He's telling them, "you actors." Now, this isn't a slam against the acting profession. You know, when we can know that my test for a really good actor is one that you forget who the actual actor is and all you see is the character that they're portraying. And to me, that's the high mark of an actor. Now, there are many good actors, but the really great ones do that really well. And so by using this word, Jesus, what he is saying is that the scribes and the Pharisees and those who are showing off their righteousness to be praised by men, they're really good at it. They're really good at it. But they're being hypocritical. All that they're doing is they are acting. And when you consider what an actor does, their profession is to make us believe they are something that they are not. And again, the ones that are really good at doing that. And they come across and all you see is the character that they're playing. But that is when you boil it down, that is the nuts and bolts of the acting profession. To convince us that they are something that they are not. And that is where we get the meaning then of the word hypocrite. It is someone who acts in one way that is completely different from what they actually are. It is the negative sense of an actor. And Jesus says that they go about, they sound their trumpets in the synagogues, or they stand on the street corners. You know, this isn't literal. They wouldn't sound a trumpet as they actually gave to people. But Jesus, again, employing the figure of speech of hyperbole, is showing the overall attitude that they have, making sure that people are aware and know what they are doing. You know, we can think of many instances of big press conferences or things where somebody gives a bunch of money to something else. That would be a similar way that Jesus is talking about here. Sounding trumpets, standing on the street corners. And the motivation here then, Jesus repeats, that they may be praised by others. This word to be praised, translated to be praised here, is the same word in 5:16 that is Jesus used, that they may give glory to God. So that's the connection here that we receive of the motivation that to do works of righteousness properly or improperly. Doing them to give glory to ourselves, to receive glory, to puff ourselves up, is improper. But with the motivation that God would be glorified is the proper way of understanding this. We begin, as Jesus closes this verse, he says, "Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward." The Greek here is a little bit more emphatic. It could be translated, "they have received their reward in full." There is nothing more that they can expect. That is their reward. They are striving for the glory given to them by other men and women. And so when they receive that, they are receiving their reward in full. There is nothing lacking. One way that we could illustrate this is I had the opportunity to spend most of the day yesterday in a beautiful outdoors. golfing with Don Lamont, Don Piper, and Don Lamont's friend Jeff. And it was a beautiful day, wonderful weather. And I had thought that I had left our score sheet in the cart, but Don Piper told me that he actually took it home, so he can actually find out what my score was. I don't really want to know. But when we add up the totals, whatever I get, that's my reward. You know, I played as well as could be expected with all the time and effort that I put into golfing. I played as well as I can expect, and that is my reward. I received it in full, for better or for worse. And there's nothing more than I can expect. And so, too, this is what Jesus says about those who are after glory from men. That is their motivation. They want to be glorified here in this life. They want to be lifted up. Well, they will receive their reward in full. There will be nothing lacking. They will receive that reward. And they will be lifted up. And they will receive glory from those that they are receiving, striving after glory from. So again, we learn we will be rewarded by the one we seek a reward from, by the one that we seek to please. Will we be men pleasers or will we be God pleasers? We will be rewarded by the one we seek to please. And Jesus then moves on in our third point. Therefore, practice your righteousness before God without any thought of reward in this life. We read in these verses, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. First of all, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Jesus, again, using hyperbole to get at the depth of which we are to strive, not to be, not to blow our trumpets or pronounce the good that we are doing, but to go about our good really without even realizing that we are doing it. And this is shown to us and illustrated to us by Jesus himself later in the Gospel of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 40. Here we read, and Jesus is talking about the final judgment here. And we read in these verses, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. You see here, the people that Jesus is speaking about in those verses, they went about doing righteousness, practicing their righteousness in such a way that when Jesus commends them for it, they say, Lord, when did we do this? That is what Jesus is talking about here in Matthew chapter 6. To go about practicing our righteousness that we don't really even realize we are doing it. That is how we keep it from our left hand, what our right hand is doing. So that at that last great day, Jesus will, you know, when we hear those words, we'll be able to say with those on the right hand of Jesus Christ, Lord, when did we do these things? When did we do these things? So we are to not let our left hand know what our right hand is doing. In essence, we're to be so proficient in practicing our righteousness that they don't even realize we're doing it. And what does it mean to do these things then in secret? Does it mean that we cannot in any way publicly do any form of good whatsoever? That as soon as that we are somehow praised for doing something that was good that someone saw, that we're to immediately be abhorred and say, oh no, I failed. No, that's not what Jesus is saying. The fact is, as we go about practicing our righteousness, we will be seen by people. We will be seen by them. Again, it's the motivation that is key here. Are we motivated by we want that praise? Or are we motivated, no, I want to give glory to God? What is our motivation? Because, and one thing we need to think about here, and one commentator pointed this out, is that we can actually do our works in secret. We can actually do them so that they are hiding, they're hidden from other people, but inwardly hoping that someone will find out. Like, you know, I'm going to do all this good, and like, oh, maybe someone will see and catch a glimpse of me doing this, and they'll praise me for doing these good works, and doing them in secret so that no one would see. Again, that betrays the wrong heart attitude. And this is hard for us because we want to be praised for a good thing that we do. But ultimately, our motivation is to be the glory of God. Is God glorified? Is Jesus glorified? Is His name praised and upheld by what I am doing here? Or is it all on me? Jesus says then that our Father who is in secret or who sees in secret will reward you. Now, when Jesus says that your Father who sees in secret, what He is pointing out there is just God's all-knowing nature. That everything that happens in this world, everything that happens in this life, He sees. He sees the things that are done in broad daylight, and He sees the things that are done behind closed doors. Every thought that has ever been thought, the Lord sees. He knows. There is nothing that escapes His all-knowing view. So that is what Jesus is saying here. Your Father who sees in secret, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Now, how do we consider then the reward? The reward aspect of here what God is doing, rewarding His people for practicing righteousness. What's a way that we could understand this concept? I think a good way to understand God's rewarding His people and still yet hold and cling to the Reformed doctrines that anything that we do is completely by the grace of God and not of our own merit. I think a great illustration that God has given us is in a father and son duo, Dick and Rick Hoyt. This duo, Dick and Rick Hoyt, Rick Hoyt, the son, has cerebral palsy. And in 1977, he read an article about running, and he was inspired. And his father had never run a race at all, but he decided that he would run a race, and in that race, he pushed his son. And the response was that, you know, his son felt that he was completely healed when they were running. It gave him that feeling that he was completely normal. So over the past 35 years, Dick and Rick Hoyt have competed in well over 1,000 different competitions. Some of them Ironman triathlons, which are insane triathlons that I can't even imagine doing it without having to tow someone behind me. And what Dick does is that during the swimming competition, he's got his son in a canoe or some type of floating device that he pulls him along. When they ride the bike, there's a special tandem bike that's been made where his son, Rick, rides in the front as Dick pedals along. And in the running competition, Dick will push Rick in a wheelchair. And they compete in these things together. And they're given credit as a team. You know, Rick receives a reward. He crossed the finish line. But everyone knows and looks that it is his father who has done everything. His father is the one that has pushed his son. His father is the one that has carried him. His father is the one that has done everything, put in the hours of physical conditioning in order to carry his son across the finish line. That is how we are rewarded. We are, not to make light of Rick's condition, but spiritually, we are dead. We are beyond having cerebral palsy. We are dead in God's eyes spiritually, apart from Christ. It is Christ who pulls us. It is Christ who carries us. It is Christ, His work. But yet the grace of God is, again, exhibited in that we get a reward. He's done all the work. He's done everything. And then he says, I will reward you. That is the level of God's grace that he is showing to his people. He gives us Christ's righteousness. He takes our unrighteousness and puts it upon Christ. And in the end, after we accomplish the good works that he gives us to do and that he gives us the strength to do, that he sees us do in secret, that only by his strength that we can actually do, he says, here is your reward. That is what Jesus means here. And so as we conclude, the question that we all need to ask ourselves, you need to ask yourself, I need to ask myself, is that which reward do we want? Who do we want to be rewarded by? Whose glory do we want to strive after? Do we want to strive after our own glory, be puffed up? That as soon as we are dead and gone, it is forgotten and fades away? Or do we want to pursue the glory of God, the glory of Jesus Christ? A treasure that is hidden where no moth or rust can destroy, and a treasure that endures for all of eternity, and that will never fade in its glorious brilliance. Which reward do we want to strive after? Jesus says, as we go about practicing our righteousness, to do so as if we don't even realize that we are doing it. To practice after it, to do righteousness, not to receive glory from men, to receive glory from God. And so we are to practice our righteousness with the assumption that we will never be rewarded in this life. Ultimately, I think that's what it boils down to, what Jesus is saying. Practice your righteousness, do the good things that God has given us to do, and don't expect any type of recognition or reward in this life. That is a very hard thing to do. Again, only by the strength of God can we actually ever do that. And by his grace, we are forgiven when we fail to do that. And so, brothers and sisters, let us now go out there and let's practice our righteousness. Let's do what God has given us to do, and let's do so without any thought or consideration of ever being recognized or rewarded for doing that good. Because you will be rewarded. Because God sees. He never forgets. He is always watching and he knows everything that happens in this life. And the good that you and I have to do is the good that he has given us to do. And by his grace, we will have the strength to do it. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for these words and these verses and the teaching that we have here. Lord, not only is the greater righteousness impossible for us to attain in ourselves, it is only attained through faith in you and in your work and by the grace of Jesus Christ. But Lord, also the very practice of this righteousness that you have given to us is also impossible in our own strength. We cannot do this on our own. But Lord, you are pushing us. You are pulling us. You, Lord, are carrying us through this process of sanctification. And we pray, Lord, that as we go about doing the righteousness that you have given to us, that we, Lord, would be given the ability to do these things without any thought of being rewarded, without any thought of being recognized, but only by your grace, Lord, and only as if you were the one who saw what we were doing. And we praise you, Father, for the great goodness that you give to us each day. And may you continue to uphold us by your strength, giving us your goodness from the abundance of your storehouses. And in Jesus' precious name, we pray these things. Amen. Please turn with me now in your books of praise.